Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument is Hill against Tangerlini.
May it please the court, I'm Yvonne Coleman and I represent the appellate Anthony Hill. This is an employment discrimination case based on race and sex discrimination and retaliation for engaging in a protected EEO activity. The district court granted summary judgment and we ask this court to reverse and remand for trial. Mr. Hill was employed at GSA in the Federal Career Internship Program, and he started May 12, 2008, and was terminated on May 7, 2009, just 5 days short of completing his one-year probationary period. The district court found that Hill failed to establish a prima facie case to prove his race and sex discrimination claims, and that he failed to prove that he was terminated through retaliation for filing the EEO discrimination complaint against GSA shortly after he began his employment. The two elements the court found missing from the prima facie case for race and sex discrimination were, one, whether Hill was performing his job duties according to GSA's legitimate expectations, and whether Hill identified a similarly situated employee. GSA claims that Hill engaged in three incidents that resulted in his termination. However, the record shows that Hill received satisfactory evaluations from May 2008, the beginning of his employment, until April 2009, which was a month before his termination. Then he was abruptly terminated, which was 5 days before he would have completed his one-year probationary period. The first incident or interaction occurred in September 2008 when Hill had what we call an interaction with Dwayne Thomas, his team leader, his mentor, and his coach. Hill also described Thomas as his supervisor. The record shows that Hill asked Thomas why he was not selected for a particular training assignment. Thomas did not like the way Hill had approached him and the way he had questioned him, and so he was sort of upset with Hill about that, but the two of them discussed the situation, and they resolved it, any kind of misunderstanding, and Hill thought that was it. Shortly after this interaction with Thomas, Hill received three satisfactory performance reviews. Two were like a month later in October 2008 and received one in January 2009. And none of these reviews mentioned the incident that he had had or the interaction that he had had with Thomas. The second interaction was on March 13, 2009 with another employee, Marcy Nordle, about a color copy of a document. He wanted to copy a document, and he wanted a color copy. Nordle refused to make the color copy for Hill, and Hill questioned her about it. An interaction occurred, and Nordle was upset with that, and Hill received two evaluations, both of which were still, again, satisfactory. That incident occurred again March 13, 2009. He received an evaluation March 30th, 2009, and one April 8th, 2009, and both were satisfactory. Neither one of those evaluations mentioned any of the incidents with Thomas nor Nordle. In its letter of termination, GSA characterizes an incident on April 22nd, 2009, as Hill's third incident, and this one involved a co-worker, Christina Wallach, who was a white female. Ms. Wallach approached Hill and demanded that Hill retrieve some files for her. Wallach said she felt physically threatened by Hill after she walked away and he followed her. And Hill denies that, and Hill says that he felt threatened the way Wallach had approached him in his cubicle, demanding and yelling at him. And it's important to note that it was Wallach who apologized the next day to Hill for her inappropriate behavior toward him. Furthermore, she admitted that she had felt, quote, bitchy, end quote, that day. The record shows that the two of them met together, Hill and Wallach, to discuss the misunderstanding, and they met with a supervisor, and the issue was resolved. Then, 15 days after the incident with Ms. Wallach, on May 7, 2009, Hill was abruptly terminated by his supervisor, Tom Cambridge. The reason given for his termination was that he had engaged in inappropriate behavior in his interactions with Thomas, Nordle, and Wallach. However, the reason given was a pretext for discrimination because Hill was performing his job satisfactorily and he was treated less favorably than another similarly situated white employee. Hill points to Katrina Wallach, a white female co-worker, as a similarly situated employee. Both of them were part of the federal internship trainee program. They both had the same supervisor. They had begun working for GSA around the same time, about 2 months apart. They have similar higher educational backgrounds in that both of them have a master's degree, and they were subject to the same standards of conduct. And the similarities don't stop there. In this incident, this alleged third incident, Ms. Wallach confronted Hill and pointed her fingers at him and yelled at him and angrily demanded that he find some files for her. Ms. Wallach admitted that her behavior toward Hill, her co-worker, was an inappropriate conduct. This was comparable conduct to Mr. Hill's, and Ms. Wallach should have been disciplined, too. She should have been terminated. She was not disciplined at all. The only difference between the two are that Ms. Wallach is a white female and Mr. Hill is a black male. Now, the reasons given by GSA for the termination are pretextual. GSA used three incidents as a cover-up for discrimination. If they truly or honestly believed that the first two incidents were grounds for discipline, they would have disciplined Hill after each incident and documented it in his evaluations, or at least mentioned it in his evaluations. Other evidence of discriminatory motive were comments regarding Hill's appearance and referring to him as a big guy who intimidates people. Also, there were comments from his supervisor, the decision maker, to others regarding Hill's EEO complaints, the back pay, the pay increase he received from the, and the pay increase he received from the settlement. And it's very suspicious that the so-called investigation of Hill's behavior included statements and emails from everyone except Hill. Now, the retaliation issue is undisputed that Hill did engage in EEO activity. He filed three formal complaints in July 2008 based on race discrimination in the pay he had received. He filed one with EEO, he filed one with the Office of Special Counsel, and he filed another one with the Merit System Protection Board. In August 2008, the EEO complaint was settled, and Hill was given his back pay and his pay increase. The record shows that Cambridge told Siegel, another supervisor, about Hill's EEO complaints and the settlement with back pay and the pay increase. And his telling Siegel of this information was not necessary, and it shows a retaliatory motive. The comments between Cambridge and Siegel regarding Hill discussing his EEO complaints and bragging to others about the complaints, shows their open resentment toward Hill. The termination is suspicious timing. The termination process commenced and finalized days before Hill's probationary period would have ended.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. There is no cover-up or conspiracy here. Essentially, what happened is that this was a probationary trainee who engaged in three confrontations with three different coworkers in three different departments in less than a year during his probationary period.
Is there anything in the record about his previous employments? Because he seems to have had a lot of different jobs.
Yes, Your Honor. I'm not sure. In his deposition transcript, he probably would have laid out his prior employment. He had previously been employed with the federal government for about 20 years.
But there's nothing about why he had left one job for another and then another.
In his deposition transcript, which would have been attached to in the record 27, document 27, exhibit A, I believe that he did outline. He was originally in the armed services and retired. His job before he joined GSA's internship program was with the IRS in another state. He moved from there because he got married and his wife was in Chicago. Yes. But in any event, this is just a situation where this was a problem employee. He was hired into this internship program, and he was on probation, and that's undisputed here. Yet, during that time, three different confrontations that he has with three different employees, all who tell a similar story. A similar story of Mr. Hill losing his temper and engaging in physically intimidating behavior. His tone, loud and aggressive, yelling. His demeanor, very threatening. The district court described this as a pattern of unacceptable conduct and during his probationary period. As a result, when the agency had a chance to get rid of him while he was a probationary employee, it did. There's no discrimination, no retaliation. It's simply a business decision to end the relationship after it became clear that it was not working out, and it was during his probation, and so it was easier to do so. At best, Mr. Hill claims that the agency's wrong. His behavior really wasn't that bad. He wasn't trying to yell. Everyone's misinterpreting his behavior. But that's not enough to create an issue of fact on the real question here, which is pretext. Meaning, was the agency motivated by some discriminatory or retaliatory reason when it made the decision to remove him? And there's nothing in this record that would suggest that it was. He points to what he considers the inadequacy of the investigation. But the real question here is, did the agency honestly believe the statements that it received from these other employees about these confrontations that occurred with Mr. Hill? And there is nothing in this record that would suggest that it did not. For those reasons, lest the panel has any further questions, we would ask that the court affirm the grant of summary judgment in favor of the agency. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Anything further, Ms. Coleman?
Thank you. Mr. Hill served in the military, and he worked approximately 21 years for federal agencies, including the Navy, Naval Aviation Department, the Department of the Air Force, Department of Transportation, and the Internal Revenue Service. All of those jobs ended favorably for him. In the record, Hill disputes all the characterizations of misbehavior. He denied being loud. He denied being intimidating to coworkers, and he denied all the other untrue allegations. There were other employee statements that were positive about Hill. Thomas, who worked closely with Hill and supervised him as his team lead, states that Hill was good. He was professional. Trimble, who was Hill's acting supervisor, observed Hill using normal, as she stated, normal, everyday, non-threatening tone in his discussions. Hill was never asked to give a statement regarding the allegations against him. GSA's investigation of the alleged incidents included statements and emails from everyone except Hill. The decision to terminate Hill was a mask for conscious or unconscious bias. Let the jury decide this case. And on behalf of the appellate, Anthony Hill, I respectfully request that the court reverse summary judgment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coleman. The case is taken under advisement.